The last word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
So the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson remains in hospital for observation, it said, as the British death toll now reaches 5,373 as of 5 o'clock yesterday as a result of COVID-19. Downing Street has not denied, according to The Guardian, that Johnson is receiving oxygen treatment, and the Cabinet meeting tomorrow has been postponed. We're joined by Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio in London. This did come as quite a shock, didn't it, to hear that Boris Johnson, 10 days into being in self-isolation as a result of COVID-19, has deteriorated to the point that he needs hospital treatment.
Massive shock, although if you look back, we every Thursday in the UK, we take to, we open the doors and windows if it's safe to do, and there's a round of applause at 8 p.m. For all the NHS staff. And it has to be said, he looked pretty haggard last Thursday, and we played what we call audio clips or the sound of him over the last few days, and he is actually sounding quite coarse. All that being said, no, it's a massive shock, and you have to wonder, he's too ill to be at the office, but he's well enough to run the country. This is very strange. Understandably, and I heard the line, yes, there are all sorts of rumours. There's even a suggestion that he's got pneumonia, which for a man of his age, I mean, obviously it's very debilitating, but it's no threat to life. He will get through it. But understandably, Downing Street are refusing to go into intimate detail, but we do know that there have been tests. We do. And of course, he's tweeted, which you may or may not have told your listeners, just to, because I think it's fair to say that the morning round were dominated by questions that I had the Housing Secretary, Robert Jenrick, and the only thing people really want to know about, in all honesty, two things really, is the state of the health of the Prime Minister and when this lockdown will end. So Boris Johnson tweeted that he was in fine spirits, he praised the NHS, that he's carrying on running his team, doing what he can to beat this virus, and you know, he's feeling under the weather, but he's still effectively at his desk, albeit in a hospital bed.
Yeah, and everyone would wish him the best, but there are actually issues there. I mean, the first one, you've already put your finger on it. If you are ill, so ill as you need to go into hospital and you may be on oxygen, you know, surely it doesn't make sense for you to continue to be chairing government meetings, to be in control of the country.
Can't answer that. I think you're absolutely right. It's noted that Dominic Raab is taking, as we speak, is taking the daily briefing from Downing Street. Dominic Raab, we don't have a Deputy Prime Minister, but he effectively is the next in line, and that has always been known, so he's taking that meeting. But if as we understand, he's still having very bad... So the two main symptoms are a high fever. This, Downing Street have confirmed, he's still running a very high fever, and a cough, which cabinet members have said actually takes over when he's speaking sometimes. There is the argument that, and you're absolutely right, whatever side of the political fence on, this man is clearly not well. He should just take to his bed for 7 days and try and not get it knocked.
Well, there's also an argument that it should be 14 days is what the isolation period is here in Ireland. We're a bit surprised at times that it's just 7 days in Britain. But other issues do... I mean, he's the type of character who'll always sort of see the bright side. Oh, I'm fine, I'll be grand. But there are people putting around videos as well about he was a little bit reckless, perhaps, in recent weeks, boasting about shaking hands with COVID-19 patients in hospital and then saying it was all right because he washed his hands afterwards.
I remember you picked up on this probably before as much in the UK press did, Matt, and you pointed it out, and you're absolutely right. That very much is, as you say, that is the Boris Johnson school of political thought, in that you are a knockabout hell-well fellow, and you behave in that fashion, you take people with you, but no, highly questionable now that he was doing that, and that he was obviously meeting with so many people. And indeed, we need to say that his fiancée, who's pregnant with his child, is also experiencing symptoms as well. So he's got his own safety, his own family safety, effectively, to think of as well. So I think he is open to the charge of, but I never believe in kicking a bloke when they're down, but he is open to the charge of playing a bit fast and loose here.
But I suppose the one thing that might come out of it is this might persuade any recalcitrant members of the British public that this is only a bit of flu, nothing to be worried about, that they do need to actually be taking this far more seriously.
Yeah, good point there. It's been a challenging weekend. Not sure about where you are, but most of the UK had the best weekend so far this year. But of course, we're only in the early stages of April, so that's not surprising. Look, we're talking about a country with a population of 67 million. And by and large, the majority observe the restrictions, which are, as I'm sure they are with you, only go out if it's absolutely necessary for food or medication or to the pharmacy. stay with your family, socially isolate, keep socially distant and isolate if you think you might have the symptoms. And the vast majority, but when you consider the population of London is 8.5 million, well, you only need 1% of those to be sort of willfully disobeying. And it looks like a mighty big number in Primrose Hill Park or Greenwich Park or Richmond. But in reality, and I know I live here, in reality, most Britons are respecting it. And they've just put up the, I don't know whether you have this, but we have daily traffic figures as well, showing what the use of obviously motorised traffic, but also public transport. And again, they are all sliding down. People are respecting it.
Well, that's good to hear. There's a couple of other things, though. Last night, also, your Queen, Queen Elizabeth, made a speech. My God, for a 93-year-old woman to be able to command the teleprompter in the way, even those of us who are not monarchists would actually have to express admiration for her ability to actually put on a good performance. And I'm sure, to the, I think it was 24 million people in Britain who watched it, would have got an awful lot out of.
It's absolutely incredible. And I did this on my radio show, and I said that it obviously it speaks to people of, my, unfortunately, my parents, I'm around in all, but my parents' generation and possibly my generation. But you know what, Matt, I have people in their 20s ringing in and saying that they'd never bothered to watch the Queen, they'd never watched a Christmas message, but they did this time. To give you a bit of historical context, this is only the fifth time in her 68-year reign that she's made a special address like this, ignoring, of course, the annual Christmas message, the fifth time. One was for Gulf War I. One was for the death of the Princess of Wales, Princess Diana. One was for the death of her own mother, the Queen Mother. And one was for her Diamond Jubilee. Extraordinary precautions had to be taken. One person allowed in, and you'll know you've done enough telly. Normally there's a camera operator and there's a sound operator and there's a field producer. And if it's the royal family, you've got a couple of others. One person, fully masked and fully suited as well, from a long, long distance, with a massive boom, that then a massive mic on a pole that they managed to set up, because, as you rightly say, she's 93. The reviews were in early this morning, and even British newspapers, who aren't necessarily that well disposed to the idea of a monarchy, I think everybody has nothing but respect for a woman who's been in a post like that. She's 93. She's done it for 68 years. We all have respect for the individual. Many don't have respect for the actual idea, but rave reviews across the board.
One final thing, you've already touched upon it, that a lot of your listeners are asking the question as to when this will all end. And there are various countries across continental Europe who are now looking at sort of relaxing the various restrictions that they've got on top of the situation. But I wonder, is Britain a bit behind, Nick, when it comes to that? Because your debt toll is very, very large at this stage. We compare it to ours, and even making adjustments for the different size of population, you do seem to be having a much bigger problem than we have.
I hope I don't live to rue these words. One thing that they've just been talking about at the Downing Street press conference, the additional 439 deaths yesterday, that is horrific. If it was four, it would be four too many. But given that we have had more than 200 greater than that in the past, and this is the second day when it started to come down, are we turning a corner? To Italy, 4 days now, 4 days in a row where the number has started to go down. These are still hideous figures, so I don't want your listeners to think for a minute I'm being blasé. As to the lockdown, look for this one. It's been chronicled in the British press. Bit of a fight going on within Cabinet. Matt Hancock, the Health Secretary, understandably, he doesn't want to be the Health Secretary who presided over 20,000, 25,000 Brits who died. So he's all for keeping the lockdown. Meanwhile, the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, we learned today that the country, is costing £2.4 billion a day in loss output. £2.4 billion. Chancellor Rishi Sunak is saying, of course I want everyone to be safe, but we need that exit strategy and we need to get it out there. This is one for Boris when he's better, and we wish him a speedy recovery. That's probably going to be top of his agenda when he gets back to Downing Street.
Nick Ferrari, you look after yourself. Nick Ferrari, presenter Nick Ferrari at Breakfast on LBC Radio in London. We look forward to talking to you again soon.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.